Well, this evening, not just much notice, actually no notice. There was a question that came in on the subject of being unequally yoked. Thought maybe we could consider that a little bit tonight. Unequally yoked. There is a passage in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 14th verse. Maybe we'll read 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. If somebody has that, maybe you could go ahead and read it. And as we read that, if you want to start kind of letting your minds run a little bit on what it means to be unequally yoked and why it is that the Scriptures give us warning not to be unequally yoked. And maybe together we can look into this and gain some understanding. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Does somebody have that?
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Let's go ahead and read through 18.
Okay. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Okay, more than anything else in life, I want to be received in peace by our Father, don't you? This last verse said, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, this was to those that had separated themselves from those things that were unlike God, that made a choice to follow wholly, completely after the Lord. It, to me, there isn't anything more important in life than to be found in peace by the Lord. I don't want to miss it for anything. And so this passage exhorts us to then be separate from those things that are contrary to God the Father, whom we are endeavoring to be disciples of, and therefore exhorts us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So let's start maybe from the beginning. What does it mean? Well, maybe we can go ahead and define a yoke. What is a yoke?
Something that holds animals together.
All right. Something that holds animals together.
Usually a two.
Yeah, two.
You know, teamwork.
Hold animals together. Often there is two. I heard somebody say teamwork is involved. Anyone have anything else?
A yoke. And it's all of those things.
All right. It is intended to complete a task or a job.
Usually you think of oxen. At least I do. Maybe it's just because of the pictures, or I don't know. But I think about two oxen that are connected. It's like a wooden cross piece that is put over their necks, and they're connected. And a yoke, when it is used with two, the idea is that you can get a whole lot more done with two than you can with one. And I believe this is an important point of understanding the reason why the Lord wanted the Scriptures to exhort us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. If you have an ox, and he's going to pull a plow through very, very difficult terrain, to the point that he hardly can do it. Think about yourself running up a really steep hill. And so you hook the ox up, and by the time he makes one lane completed, he is so burned out from pulling that he can't pull anymore. But if you put two together and you yoke them up, and there's teamwork involved, and they have a common mission, a common goal, and now you got two pulling against that, then there's like this multiplying factor. Not only do you complete just twice the amount that the first one did before he got tired, but it makes it easy enough so that they can go and go and go. There's a multiplying effect by putting those two together. The yoke is intended to be a help. And similarly, if we are yoked with believers, then the Lord is able to bless that union. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. Sometimes we just think about church service, which it does apply to that. But the Lord is able, when two people join together with a mission, a common mission and goal and objective, the Lord is able to bless that and multiply it so that the outcome, the benefits, are more than the addition of what the two would be able to do on their own. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why sometimes we can quickly pivot to the subject of marriage when we read this verse, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because there isn't any closer union than marriage. And the Lord designed it such that He wants us to make it to heaven. He wants us to understand His will. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to be successful. And so He created this institution that when we came together in His name with a like mind, a like heart, common objectives to serve Him, that we would be able to help each other in ways that's more than double what we would be able to do on our own. Okay? Being yoked together doesn't just permit two things, in this case, maybe if we want to think about animals first, two oxen side by side, but you're actually joining them together. You're not just inviting. You're not just this passage doesn't have to do with casual contact. This passage has to do with being joined together. I'm not an artist, so bear with me. But a yoke. And this pen's starting to go out. It's kind of like this. And maybe there's a ring down here. And then there's these things. So this yoke sits over the top of oxen, traditionally speaking. And then they put these rings under their neck. And it would be fastened to this wooden yoke.
on each side.
They're not getting away from each other. They're tied. This doesn't represent a casual relationship. This represents where you've made a decision. Thank you, Brother Carlos. You've made a decision to yoke up with each other to where you are tied. You are united, and if things go wrong, you're gonna feel it. You don't get to just go your separate directions without getting entangled, because you're tied. You're tied together. So what happens when, let's think about animals still. What happens when animals are unequally yoked? Because this says not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So let's think a minute about what it means to be unequally yoked. What does that mean to you?
They usually refer to a team and they're the same size.
Okay. So that would be equally yoked. And so if you were unequally yoked, then maybe you have one big animal and then you have a small animal, and there's nothing that has been done with this yoke, and that's kind of a separate subject outside of this. There's ways to adjust the yoke so the bigger animals can pull more than the little animals. But what this is talking about is, you, to your point, if you put a big animal here and you put a little oxen over here, you might end up going in circles. Or one of them might get so tired he just stops. He can't go any further. And the other one's wanting to go. And so you got one that's trying to go forward. You got another one. His objective is different. He's tired. But what about this? Have you ever seen a donkey and an ox yoked up together?
The Bible says don't do that.
The Bible indeed says don't do that. Specifically says don't do that, actually. Why? Why wouldn't you put a donkey and an ox together and put this thing over the top of the donkey and the ox and go ahead and strap them in real good and put the donkey and the ox side by side and say, all right, now we've got a mission, we've got a job to complete here. Let's get it done. What would happen? Yeah, not only are they different sizes. Is a donkey's disposition the same as an ox? How do you think that'd work out?
One of them's going to be pulling the load and the other animal.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it'd work very well. How about a dog and a cat? Have you ever thought about putting a yoke around a dog and a cat? Maybe you want to pull a wagon. And you want to put your little child in the wagon, and so you decide to create a little yoke, and you've got a pet dog and a pet cat, and so you yoke them up, hook it to the wagon. Would you do that? It'd be a wild ride, wouldn't it? Because the animals, their mindset is different. Their objectives aren't the same. They're not going to be in harmony. They're going to be fighting and bickering and not happy with each other. And in the meantime, the stated objective was to take a peaceful wagon ride with precious cargo in the back. Well, think about that illustration. What happens if you yoke up with somebody that has completely different objective, doesn't think the same? We don't live unto ourselves. We have other people that are coming behind us that rely on us making good decisions for them. And we say, well, we can handle it. I can handle that dog. I know how that dog is. I'm a cat, but I can handle the dog. Well, you don't, that's not a sure thing. And it's not just about you. You got somebody that's coming behind that's depending on on this job, this task, this mission to be accomplished successfully. And so, when you combine things that are not of like mind in something as important as the stated mission in the beginning, the whole reason that you yoked up, and yet the thing that drives your life is not in harmony, then this is probably not going to work out very well. It's probably not going to end up very good. And so, if believers yoke up with unbelievers in different areas, and maybe we talk about that here momentarily, then it's almost certain that the believer is going to get hurt. It isn't going to help the believer when you do that. And marriage relationships don't work well either. When you try to put a believer and an unbeliever together, the Lord talked specifically about that relationship from the very beginning. Well, we know that it didn't work out well for Samson. It didn't work out well for Solomon. It didn't work out well for the Israelites. In fact, in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, the Israelites were instructed not to make covenants with the inhabitants of the land, and specifically not to make marriages with them, because he said they will turn away their sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. And that's exactly what happened. And yet there's always reasons. There's all a whole list of reasons that we can come up with to justify why we think we can handle yoking up with an unbeliever. And again, we're not talking about casual relationships. We're not talking about relationships where we're likely not to get entangled. We're talking about a relationship that we get into where the yoke is illustrative of that relationship. You're tied together. You're connected. You're joined. That's what this is talking about. And marriage is the closest relationship that you'll ever have with anybody. And therefore, it poses the most danger if you go ahead and choose to yoke up with an unbeliever and you are a believer. You need to start asking yourself what your belief system really is if you're willing to do that. And I want to say this too, young people. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, they're a believer. They believe in God. So I should be able to marry them. I'm good in that area because they're a believer. They believe in God. But there's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't believe into God. There's a difference between believing there is a God. There's a difference believing that there's a God that we should serve, versus somebody who is a believer into God. The translation of the verse that says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." The translation of that is, "Whosoever believeth into Him." In other words, believe Him in a way that causes us to follow Him. It's that kind of belief that we're talking about. Not the kind of belief where one of the writers says, "Well, thou doest well, the devils do fear and tremble too." I mean, they believe there's a God too. So, a question to ask yourself when you're contemplating a companion is not just, do they say they believe in God? That's a general statement to make. But do they believe into God to such an extent that they're willing to give their lives to God in every area? Are they willing
to serve Him? Are they willing to lay their way down in preference to His way, regardless of what that means? Regardless of what the sacrifice may involve? Because otherwise, if you don't marry and yoke up with somebody that believes and has a faith with similar light, you end up running into this issue where your mission starts to not be the same. Your objectives aren't the same. And then you have children in the wagon coming behind that are depending on you being a team that's working together in unison to accomplish a common, God-given, ordained, blessed relationship, and yet you're busy bickering with each other and in disagreement because your faith's not the same. And it turns into a way bigger issue than what often you ever think in the beginning. In the beginning you think love will cover everything. I'll be able to make it just fine. We'll work everything out. God can help us through it. They love God. And then you shy away from places where you know they're not living to the light that maybe they know. And maybe they don't have near the light that you have, and you don't understand and you don't know if they would even be willing to live according to what you know is right. And then you get hooked up like this, and then trouble starts. And so, the scriptures teach us to not be unequally yoked together. Now, Paul was challenged in Corinth. This was to the Corinthians. And Paul was challenged in Corinth because Corinth was a city that was known for having idolatrous temples. They had temples where they served other gods. They had people that worshipped idols. And not only that, but they lived lives that were very, very ungodly. And they were around the people that were endeavoring to live for God. And so Paul was warning them, hey y'all, be careful about joining and having these close relationships that require yoking up with them because they're influencing people to do things that aren't right. And so he said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because if you're not careful, there's an influence that will start taking you in a different direction than the light that God has given you, and it's serious business. Because listen to what he said. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Where is the fellowship in that? What communion has light with darkness? If God's given you light, why then would you go yoke up and enter a relationship that's going to cause you to be unequally yoked to the point that your life starts being influenced by darkness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with these idols, with these false gods? What part hath that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and don't touch the unclean thing. Don't willingly go into these types of relationships where you yoke up unequally to the point that you become influenced in a way that begins to cause you to drift from light, because there's no communion between light and darkness. Yet, over and over, all throughout the history of time, people believe that they can handle it. It happens over and over. We think we're unique. We think, well, I'm different. Well, I know what to watch out for. It's God has given me a special place with this work, and I believe He's okay with it. And we think we're different from all that has gone before us. And yet God, way from the beginning, warned over and over and over again, don't go out and marry the heathen. Don't go out and start making covenants with those that are in darkness, because that's not where I dwell. And so if we go and do that, then we have set ourselves up willingly, because if you have the light and then you go yoke up with darkness, it's a serious matter. And there's consequences of that then begin to follow you all through life, things that you didn't realize. And then by the time you realize it, if we're talking about marriage, it's too late. Because now you've made a commitment. Now you've said, I do. And when you say, I do, that means, till death do you part. The scriptures don't give ways to then decide, well, I made a mistake on that, I'm going to go marry somebody else. And so now you go through life and you have to bear, I'll call it, avoidable crosses. Avoidable hardship that could have all been avoided had you followed the counsel of the word of the Lord that said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So, don't flirt with sin. Don't flirt with unrighteousness. Don't play with ungodliness, with whatever form that it may present itself. Paul is saying here, be separate. That's what it said, didn't it, down here? Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. He was telling us, be holy. You're followers of God. Be separate. Be holy. What is the definition of holy? We've studied some of that. What are some of the key words? Consecrated?
Set apart.
Dedicated. To what? Set apart to man? To ourselves? To our interests, personal interests? God is calling us to be holy, set apart to God. And so if we are to be the temple of God where He's willing to come and dwell, He's looking for a holy people, which doesn't mean that we are perfect in the sense that we have no other room for improvement at all in our lives in any area, but it means that we are fully consecrated. We're fully dedicated to following the Lord. We are willing to set ourselves apart from our own interests and the interest of others to make sure that we put God in front of everything. And if this is our objective, which it should be our objective, this should be our mission, this is our duty, it's our reasonable duty according to Scripture. If this is our reasonable duty, to be consecrated, dedicated, set apart unto God, then why would we then go and yoke up, tie ourselves in a close relationship that puts us in, I'll call it, an unequal status that begins to influence us away from the Lord? Why would we do that? Let's not be deceived. Let's have our eyes wide open. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to anoint our eyes with the eye salve from above, that we may be able to clearly understand what this practically means for us in life.
In Galatians 5, Paul was speaking on another subject, but he used similar words. He said, be not entangled again with the yoke. So he used the words entangled, and he used the word yoke of bondage. And he was talking about something different, but you get entangled, and entangled is not doesn't usually have a positive connotation associated with it. You get entangled when you end up yoking up with the wrong thing. That's when you start getting entangled. Because if you yoke up, you're connected in a way that you can't easily pull yourself away, and yet you're going one direction, this one over here is going in the other direction, but you're tied together, and so then you just end up getting entangled. And so Paul is saying, don't be entangled. Don't yoke up with those things that can cause you to be entangled. So before we're running out of time quick, marriage is not the only thing this applies to. What are some other things that we could yoke up with that can cause us problems where we are unequally yoked? Any ideas?
Business.
Our job. What else? Our friends.
We're surrounded by unbelievers all the time.
Okay. Unbelievers, so that's kind of a general category. We already said marriage. Ah. Other churches.
Social organizations.
Social organizations. You know that the enemy, he uses these innocent looking things to draw us in, tie us up, yoke us up, subtly, and then all of a sudden we find that we are starting to be adversely influenced because we're unequally yoked. Now, I want to speak to that for a moment. This first one, somebody said business and jobs, business relationships. Did you know that we're yoked to our jobs? That's my testimony. I found that your job, providing for your family, you can call it whatever you want, there's a yoke with your job. You're tied to it. It has a lot of influence over you. And there are some jobs that you may find pose temptations to you that are strong temptations that begin to influence you away from the light. There are some jobs that require a lot of travel. A lot of our men travel. I travel for my job. I want to just get down where we live. And when you travel all the time and you're away from home and you're in hotels and you're going out and you're by yourself and you're on the road and you're in airports and there are opportunities to do wrong. And there are influences in your own hotel room, if you'll let it be so. Things to look at. Places to go, and in some cases, that can be an unequal yoke because it has an influence on you. It's starting to cause you to veer away from following after God. It's starting to cause you to do things that are hurting you in your experience. That becomes an unequal yoke. where you're not able to handle that yoke because it's causing you to veer away from your primary mission. And when that happens, if it keeps going for very long and you can't get control of it, you need to get another job. It's just that simple.
Yeah, same thing in our schools and colleges now.
That would be another one.
Woke agenda that mm-hmm. they're pushing.
This agenda, exposing yourself to these agendas, and you can just go down this list. When you find yourself starting to think a little bit different, that's a little different from the scriptures, but we all mean well. I know it's different from what it says, but I you know, I'm following the spirit of it. And then you find that you start stumbling and you have to keep repenting and you stumble again and things aren't going well. It's time to de-yoke. I don't even know if that's a word. It's time to take the yoke off. It's time to go get another job. It's not worth it. This is your primary mission. Your friends. Yeah, it's important who your friends are. You can develop relationships with people and start being with them all the time and your activities are tied together and there are some people that can have an influence over you to the point that, again, it's affecting your ability to be consecrated, dedicated, set apart unto God. And it's time to get new friends. And people can use this justification. Well, does God want me to walk away from them? I mean, they need me. They're in trouble. They're in bad shape. They need a positive influence. Isn't that why God put us down here, was to be a light to those that need help? Yes. However, He also said not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, unequally yoked with unbelievers, which means that if your friends are starting to pull you away from the Lord, it's time for you to get a different friend and let God deal with their soul, which is His primary job anyway. And He works through other people. He may have somebody else that isn't influenced by them that He's going to connect up with them to help with them. Be careful who your friends are. We talked about marriage. Sister Tammy said churches. Folks, be careful. If you start getting in the place in life where you decide we're going to go somewhere else, these two things right here, churches and marriage, kind of go hand in hand a lot of times. So many churches out there blatantly teach false doctrine. And we know it. And you know it. Does that mean that we're perfect? Does that mean that we say that we are the standard and we're perfect and we can never be corrected on anything? No. But we are walking to all of the light and understanding that we possibly have. And if we understand and know and look out there, and there are churches, and we know that it's a church that believes, well, it's a sin you will, sin you must, you know, I mean, you can kind of live how you want. That's why Jesus died on the cross, and His grace, His blood will help you where you need help and just live however you want. Or, you know, adultery, fornication, that's not good, but remarriage, you know, that's not really considered that, and if you need to get remarried again, and then there's all these things that can start creeping in, but they're in church. And there's always good people in about every church. There's good people. There's some honest souls. There's people that are part of the church of God that are in other fellowships besides what we're in. There's going to be other people in heaven, folks, besides just the people that are part of our church family. People that are honest souls, that are part of the church of God, that have had their sins washed and cleansed, and God has forgiven them, and they're walking to all the light that they know, or they don't know where else to go. But if you have the light, and then you make a conscious decision to go and fellowship, I'm talking about teaching that is blatantly false doctrine teaching. The scripture says, what communion hath light with darkness? Be careful of this. Social organizations, social media, be careful what you yoke up with on social media. Because it can have a way of draining you of your oil. And then you wonder, why am I discouraged? Why do I feel lethargic? Why do I feel like nothing interests me? Why do I feel like I'm just down and kind of depressed? And then you start questioning everything. Everything comes into question. Social media can very quickly... I'm not saying social media is a sin. I'm not saying social media is yoking up with unbelievers that everybody has to decouple. Please don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is that it's something, it appears that a lot of people yoke up to for large portions of their discretionary time. Make sure that at the end, when all is said and done, you lay your head down at night on your pillow, that you're separated unto God. That whatever decisions you're making in life, whether it's your job or your friends or your marriage or the churches that you go to or your social media or however you may be yoking up or your contact with unbelievers, just make sure that in the end you are wholly consecrated, dedicated, set apart unto God. That's where happiness is. That's where fulfillment is. That's where the joy of the Lord can be found. Depression and discouragement and much uncertainty, absence of purpose, all of those things go along with yoking up, unequally yoking up, with things that influence you away from this. So does that mean that we can't have friends in the world? Does that mean that we the preacher says we can't do business with people in the world and you can't have friends? No, that's not what the scriptures teach, and that's not what I'm teaching tonight. Jesus said it was His prayer that we wouldn't be taken out of the world, but that we would be protected from the evil one. In another place He spoke of, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not hermits. We're not in a convent. We have jobs. We go out. We interact with unbelievers. We associate with unbelievers. That's the only way to show our light, shine our light to the world. That's not what the scripture's saying. And not everybody that doesn't have the light is evil. It's not like everybody out there is evil and is an unequal yoke to us that doesn't have the same light and understanding that we have. That's not what the scriptures teach. We are going to have friends. We are going to have business relationships oftentimes with people in the world. We are going to interact. But be careful. There's a fine line between that and entering into and fellowshipping and connecting up with and yoking up with that is contrary to the Word of the Lord and to God. That's what it means to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, we've run out of time tonight. The Lord wants us to live our lives so that
so that we can let our light shine out to a lost and needy world in a way that accurately represents Christ. And sometimes that means that we have to disconnect from some of these areas if we find that we've yoked up with something that's causing our consecration, our dedication, our being set apart. It's causing it to be put in peril. May the Lord give us understanding in these things and the willingness to make the tough decisions when we have to make them. And the Lord will help us and bless us and see us through. Amen.